Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. It is wonderful Wednesday, February 8th, 2012. This is Paul Hutchings calling in from Southeast Idaho. It is a great day to be alive, my friends. I am so glad to be here. I want to welcome everybody, entrepreneurs from all over the United States. Welcome to the call. So excited to be here. So excited about life. You know, as I sit and think and ponder about what can happen in my life, and I realize that it really is all up to me. And if I can imagine something, and if I can use my imagination, and if I can control my thoughts and control my actions, truly the sky is the limit. And it baffles my imagination that that truth is the same truth for every single person. And I want to welcome everybody to the call, because this is what we're doing. This is what we're doing on this call. We're learning how to control our thoughts, control our minds, so that we can become the best that we can possibly be, so that we can enjoy all of the good things of life, so that we can do, as Mr. Jim Rohn often said, so that we can see what we can do with seed, soil, sunshine, and rain. What are the possibilities, my friend? They are endless. Welcome to the call. I'm excited. Today we've got a great message. Going to jump right into it. Today we're going to talk about the Devil's Workshop, the seventh basic evil. In addition to the six basic fears, there is another evil by which people suffer. It constitutes a rich soil in which the seeds of failure grow abundantly. It is so subtle that its presence often is not detected. This affliction cannot properly be classed as a fear. It is more deeply seated and more often fatal than all of the six fears. For want of a better name, let us call this evil susceptibility to negative influences. Men who accumulate great riches have always protect themselves against this evil. The poverty-stricken never do. Those who succeed in any calling must prepare their minds to resist evil. If you are reading this philosophy for the purpose of accumulating riches, you should examine yourself very carefully to determine whether you are susceptible to negative influences. If you neglect this self-analysis, you will forfeit your right to obtain the object of your desires. Make the analysis searching. After you read the questions prepared for this self-analysis, hold yourself to a strict accounting in your answers. Go with the task as carefully as you would search for any other enemy you knew to be awaiting you in ambush, and deal with your own faults as you would with a more tangible enemy. You can easily protect yourself against highway robbers because the law provides organized cooperation for your benefit. But the seventh basic evil is more difficult to master because it strikes when you are not aware of its presence, when you are asleep and while you are awake. Moreover, its weapon is intangible because it consists of merely a state of mind. This evil is also dangerous because it strikes in as many different forms as there are human experiences. Sometimes it enters the mind through the well-meant words of one's own relatives. At other times, it bores from within through one's own mental attitude. Always, it is as deadly as poison, even though it may not kill as quickly. How to protect yourself against negative influences. To protect yourself against negative influences, whether of your own making or the result of the activities of negative people around you, recognize that you have a willpower and put it into constant use until it builds a wall of immunity against negative influences in your own mind. Recognize the fact that you and every other human being are by nature lazy, indifferent, and susceptible to all suggestions which harmonize with your weaknesses. Recognize that you are by nature susceptible to all the six basic fears and set up habits for the purpose of counteracting all these fears. Recognize that negative influences often work on you through your subconscious mind. Therefore, they are difficult to detect, and keep your mind closed against all people who depress or discourage you in any way. Clean out your medicine chest, throw away all pill bottles, and stop pandering to colds, aches, pains, and imaginary illnesses. Deliberately seek the company of people who influence you to think and act for yourself. What are we doing on this call? Wow, I mean, a huge, got people all over the country on this call. We've got a Facebook group, and these are all people that come together every morning and encourage each other to do exactly that, think and act for ourselves. Do not expect troubles, as they have a tendency not to disappoint. Without doubt, the most common weakness of all human beings is the habit of leaving their minds open to the negative influences of other people. This weakness is all the more damaging because most people do not recognize that they are cursed by it, and many who acknowledge it neglect or refuse to correct the evil until it becomes an uncontrollable part of their daily habits. To aid those who wish to see themselves as they really are, the following list of questions has been prepared. Read the questions and state your answers aloud so you can hear your own voice. This will make it easier for you to be truthful with yourself. And I'm going to run through these questions here. As I read the question, answer in your own mind truthfully the answer to this question. And this self-analysis is really going to help us discover areas where we need to improve. And it might not be a bad idea to actually go through this a little bit later on your own and get out a piece of paper and something to write with and write out the answers so that you can really dig deep and locate the areas of your character or our character that we need to improve and move forward on. So here are the test questions. Do you complain often of feeling bad? And if so, what is the cause? Do you find fault with other people at the slightest provocation? Do you frequently make mistakes in your work? And if so, why? Are you sarcastic and offensive in your conversation? Do you deliberately avoid the association of anyone? And if so, why? Do you suffer frequently with indigestion? If so, what is the cause? Does life seem futile and the future hopeless to you? If so, why? Do you like your occupation? Oh boy, I love what I do. Do you like your occupation? If not, why? Do you often feel self-pity? And if so, why? Are you envious of those who excel you? To which do you devote most time, thinking of success or failure? That's a really good one. Think about that. What do you think about most, success or failure? Are you gaining or losing self-confidence as you grow older? Wow, this one's, that's really, listen to this. Think about this. Are you gaining or losing self-confidence as you grow older? Do you learn something of value from all mistakes? Are you permitting some relative or acquaintance to worry you? If so, why? Are you sometimes in the clouds and at other times in the depths of despondency? Are you happy? Are you sad? Back and forth, happy, sad, happy, sad. Or are you happy most of the time? Or are you sad most of the time? Who has the most inspiring influence upon you? What is the cause? Do you tolerate negative or discouraging influences which you can avoid? Are you careless of your personal appearance? If so, when and why? Have you learned how to drown your troubles by being too busy to be annoyed by them? Would you call yourself a spineless weakling if you permitted others to do your thinking for you? Do you neglect internal bathing until auto-intoxication makes you ill-tempered and irritable? How many preventable disturbances annoy you, and why do you tolerate them? Do you resort to liquor, narcotics, or cigarettes to quiet your nerves? If so, why do you not try willpower instead? Does anyone nag you, and if so, for what reason? Do you have a definite major purpose, and if so, what is it? And what plan have you for achieving it? That's a keystone. This is one of the major takeaways that we're getting from this call and this book every single day. What is your definite major purpose? I heard an audio called The Strangest Secret by Earl Nightingale, one of my favorite audio programs. And he says in that program that if you were to stop 100 men or women on the street and ask them, what is their definite major purpose? What is their goal? 97 out of 100 would not be able to tell you what it is. Three would. I hope everyone on this call can answer that question. What is your definite major purpose? And also, what plan do we have for achieving it? Do you suffer from any of the six basic fears? If so, which ones? We've just gone through the basic fears. Fear of poverty, fear of ill health, fear of criticism. Do you suffer from any of those? Have you a method by which you can shield yourself against the negative influence of others? When somebody's negative, what do you do? Do you make deliberate use of auto-suggestion to make your mind positive? Every day, are you repeating your major definite purpose, your self-confidence formula, a statement of positive beliefs that you're sculpting your mind with? Which do you value most, your material possessions or your privilege of controlling your own thoughts? I know which one Melvin does. He's made this very clear. The priceless treasure is the privilege of controlling your own thoughts. Are you easily influenced by others against your own judgment? Has today added anything of value to your stock of knowledge or state of mind? Do you face squarely the circumstances which make you unhappy or sidestep the responsibility? Do you analyze all mistakes and failures and try to profit by them, or do you take the attitude that this is not your duty? Can you name three of your most damaging weaknesses? That's a really good one to think about. As I was going through this last night, I thought and I came up with a few. I had to think about it for a moment and came up with three things that I could really work on. What are you doing to correct them? Do you encourage other people to bring their worries to you for sympathy? Is that a useful thing to do? I like that word, useful. Are things useful to us? Do you choose from your daily experiences lessons or influences which aid in your personal advancement? Does your presence have a negative influence on other people as a rule? What habits of other people annoy you most? And some of these questions, you know, might be tough to answer. Melvin, he says that we need to become our own best friend. And part of being your own best friend, everybody, is learning to be honest with ourselves, learning to be honest. So as we're answering these questions honestly, even though some of them might be a little bit uncomfortable and some of them might, you know, cause us to face things that maybe we don't want to face, by being honest with ourselves, we're starting to be our own best friend, by really starting to stop the delusion and starting to open our eyes to the areas where we need to change, because we have to change. We have to recognize these issues and move forward in order to achieve the things that we all want to achieve. Do you form your own opinions or permit yourself to be influenced by other people? Have you learned how to create a mental state of mind with which you can shield yourself against all discouraging influences? Does your occupation inspire you with faith and hope? Are you conscious of possessing spiritual forces of sufficient power to enable you to keep your mind free from all forms of fear? Does your religion help you to keep your own mind positive? Do you feel it your duty to share other people's worries? If so, why? If you believe that birds of a feather flock together, what have you learned about studying the friends whom you attract? Think about that. Who are your friends? And what can you learn about that statement, birds of a feather flock together? What connection, if any, do you see between the people with whom you associate most closely and any unhappiness you may experience? Could it be possible that some person whom you consider to be a friend is in reality your worst enemy because of his or her negative influence on your mind? By what rules do you judge who is helpful and who is damaging to you? Are your intimate associates mentally superior or inferior to you? How much time out of every 24 hours do you devote to your occupation, sleep, play and relaxation, acquiring useful knowledge, plain waste? Who among your acquaintances encourages you the most, cautions you the most, discourages you the most, helps you in most other ways? What is your greatest worry? Why do you tolerate it? When others offer you free, unsolicited advice, do you accept it without question or analyze their motive? What, above all else, do you most desire? Do you intend to acquire it? Are you willing to subordinate all other desires for this one? How much time daily do you devote to acquiring it? Do you change your mind often? If so, why? Do you usually finish everything you begin? Are you easily impressed by other people's business or professional titles, college degrees, or wealth? Are you easily influenced by what other people think or say of you? Do you cater to people because of their social or financial status? Whom do you believe to be the greatest person living? In what respect is this person superior to yourself? How much time have you devoted to studying and answering these questions? Well, we've just spent about 10 minutes is all. At least one day is necessary for the analysis and the answering of this entire list, according to Napoleon. This is why we recommend taking some time today, pulling out a sheet of paper, and going through these on your own. And if you don't have this book, you can download an ebook copy from my blog at paulhetchings.net. Click on Mindset Training at the top, and you can grab yourself a copy of this and have these questions as you go through this self-analysis. If you have answered all these questions truthfully, you can know more about yourself than the majority of people. Study the questions carefully. Come back to them once each week for several months, and be astounded at the amount of additional knowledge of great value to yourself you will have gained by the simple method of answering the questions truthfully. If you are not certain concerning the answers to some of the questions, seek the counsel of those who you know well, especially those who have no motive in flattering you, and see yourself through their eyes. The experience will be astonishing. I think of Melvin on that line. You know, Melvin is probably the first person that I've met who is totally honest with people. And sometimes that can seem abrupt, and sometimes that can seem like, you know, like Michael from Maryland said last week. You know, he called Melvin up, and the next day on the phone he said he felt like he was standing on the line of a firing squad, and Melvin was just like shooting bullets at him. But here's the thing is Melvin does it because he cares about people, and he knows that the truth can help us grow and help us become better. So as Napoleon says here, if you can't be honest with yourself, find somebody like Melvin who will be honest with you and who will help you find these things in your character that we need to recognize and move forward on. You have absolute control over but one thing, and that is your thoughts. This is the most significant and inspiring of all facts known to man. It reflects man's divine nature. This divine prerogative is the sole means by which you may control your own destiny. If you fail to control your own mind, you may be sure you will control nothing else. If you must be careless with your possessions, let it be in connection with your material things. Your mind is your spiritual estate. Protect and use it with care to which divine royalty is entitled. You were given a willpower for this purpose. Unfortunately, There is no legal protection against those who, either by design or ignorance, poison the minds of others by negative suggestion. This form of destruction should be punishable by heavy legal penalties because it may, and often does, destroy one's chances of acquiring material things which are protected by law. Men with negative minds tried to convince Thomas A. Edison that he could not build a machine that would record and reproduce the human voice because, they said, no one else had ever produced such a machine. Edison did not believe them. He knew that the mind could produce anything the mind could conceive and believe, and that knowledge was the thing that lifted the great Edison above the common herd. Men with negative minds told F.W. Woolworth he would go broke trying to run a store on 5- and 10-cent sales. He did not believe them. He knew that he could do anything within reason if he backed his plans with faith. Exercising his right to keep other men's negative suggestions out of his mind, he piled up a fortune of more than $100 million. Men with negative minds told George Washington he could not hope to win against the vastly superior forces of the British, but he exercised his divine right to believe. Therefore, this book was published under the protection of the Stars and Stripes, while the name of Lord Cornwallis has all but been forgotten. Doubting Thomas had scoffed scornfully when Henry Ford tried out his first crudely built automobile on the streets of Detroit. Some said the thing never would become practical. Others said no one would pay money for such a contraption. Ford said, I'll belt the earth with dependable motor cars, and he did. His decision to trust his own judgment has already piled up a fortune far greater than the next 5 generations of his descendants can squander. For the benefit of those seeking vast riches, let it be remembered that practically the sole difference between Henry Ford and a majority of the more than 100,000 men who work for him is this: Ford has a mind and controls it. The others have minds which they do not try to control. Henry Ford has been repeatedly mentioned because he is an outstanding example of what a man with a mind of his own and a will to control it can accomplish. His record knocks the foundation from under that time-worn alibi. I never had a chance. Ford never had a chance either, but he created an opportunity and backed it with persistence until it made him richer than Croesus. Mind control is the result of discipline and habit. You either control your mind or it controls you. There is no hallway compromise. The most practical of all methods for controlling the mind is the habit of keeping it busy with a definite purpose, backed by a definite plan. Study the record of any man or woman who achieves noteworthy success, and you will observe that he or she has control over his own mind. Moreover, that he can exercise that control and directs it toward the attainment of definite objectives. Without this control, success is not possible. Folks, truly, we become what we think about. We have the power to control our minds. We have the power to shrug off any negative comment, any negative thought sent our way. But we must choose. We must make a conscious effort to do so. That is the secret. We must recognize that we have the power to control our own minds. And how exciting it is, how liberating it is to realize that we have the power within us. I love this stuff. I love this call because every morning we're coming together as people who are aspiring to greatness, and we're learning the laws, the principles of controlling our own minds. And through these things we're learning, through controlling our own minds, we are literally controlling our own destinies. And how high can we climb? How high can we fly? Folks, it's up to us. It is up to us. We put the limit on our own jar. How high can we go? It is totally up to us. And I love that. It's one of the things I love about life. So that being said, let me pull out Bill. Are you on the line, Bill?
Oh, you dropped off.
Oh, Bill, can you hear me? Hello, Bill.
Well, this is Bill here. You dropped off, my friend.
Can you hear me?
Well, listen, I'll take the chance here just in case Paul was going to come to me. One of the biggest influences I see here for all of us is that in my own personal life, I've had people say things to me that, oh, network marketing, why do you want to be doing that? And what really happens with that is that you have to understand these people aren't educated. They don't know enough about it. So when people don't know enough about something, they put it down. If people aren't educated about it, they put it down. They don't know enough about it, so they put it down. They put you down. I come from a family that puts me down all the time about network marketing, with the exception of back in the 80s and 90s. They said, well, you had a run there of a decade where you made a lot of money. But then they go right back to putting it down again if I get back.
Hello, Paul.
Hey.
Yes, I don't know what happened there, but there's nothing coming through at the moment.
Is Bill still there?
No, we lost Bill. And for a while there, he
couldn't. What's wrong with his phone? Could you guys hear me when Bill was like, hey, Paul, are you there?
Yeah, we could, but he couldn't.
Okay, so it must be Bill's phone. He must have dropped off there. So that's okay. Let's go ahead and open it up for discussion here.
You know, Paul, since I'm already speaking here, I had a chance to talk to someone yesterday, and we were talking about this this industry, and I just want everybody to know that the reason most people won't do this is because they don't have the ability to tolerate, because I guess it can be a bit painful, all the games people play. The fact that they can't catch these people, and these people aren't answering their phone, and they're not returning their phone calls, and they go into the witness protection program, and that's tough to deal with for a lot of people, and it's part of the course. I mean, every single person deals with that. Paul deals with it. Dr. Fran, myself, we all have to go through the same exact thing, and actually, what's taking place has a lot to do with what. Paul was just discussing, if I don't feel that good about myself and you're calling me and I don't want to have to deal with the rejection and I don't want to have to deal with you trying to change my mind or make me think a different way. And so what is we use avoidance. We simply just go into hiding. And so that's overall what's taking place there, why people do that. And it's fascinating. You know that someone can't be gone morning, afternoon, and night, and they're never at home. So that's taking place. And the other thing, too, the reason they do it is because they can always come up with most of with what most of us operate off of, and it's called excuses. We've always got that excuse built in. You know, I was busy, you know, or man, if you only know what I've been going through, and all those kinds of things. So just know it's part per course to have to deal with people in regards to that and why they're doing it. And just go ahead and go through it, because that's what's going to help you become successful and achieve your goals. Don't let their games and their nonsense have that kind of effect on you. Back to you, Paul.
Great points, Melvin. You know, as you were talking there, I was just reminded that there are two things that are way more important than what anybody thinks. The first thing is your goal, your major definite purpose. That's way more important. you know, we need to get into the habit of being attached to the major result and becoming disattached to the minor results. The major result is, hey, by this date, I'm going to have in my life 3,000 or 4 or 500 or whatever the number is that's going to change my life. That's what I'm out to do here. So a little negative feedback, a little rejection here and there means nothing. That's the small result because I know where I'm going. For my major result, that's the first thing that's way more important than what anybody says in the meantime. And the second thing is what Melvin talked about. What do I think of myself? Am I confident in my abilities? Do I love myself? Do I believe in myself? Do I think that I'm a good person? Do I think that people, you know, can benefit from my companionship? And if you get to a point where you believe in yourself, then it doesn't matter what other people think. It really makes no difference what other people think. You know, sometimes I say to myself, like just yesterday I was talking to myself. I said, you know, gosh, yesterday morning we had 80 people on the call. Wow, that's 80 people that are getting on the phone call and listening and contributing and having a discussion. Wow, Paul, that's quite a few people. Are you scared? What if you say the wrong thing tomorrow? And then instantly I said to myself, hey, I'm not even going to worry about it. I'm not even going to worry about it because it doesn't matter. What if I do say something stupid? Who cares? It doesn't matter, right? So that's where we need to get. We need to get where we're so confident in our goal and ourselves that these little teeny little things, they roll off our back like water, the negative things. And I'm happy to say that I'm to that point, and there's always room for improvement. But when I hear negative things, sometimes I'll hear a little negative comment here or there about me or about what I'm doing. I just instantly, it just rolls off my back, and I just reject it. And that's what we all have to do. We've got to get into that mode of operation.
Paul,
so good stuff, Melvin. Yes, Bill, welcome back.
Yeah, I got knocked off the call, and I thought you got knocked off, so I started talking, and then all of a sudden it went into that fast, busy signal. So
yeah,
it was
yeah,
me that got
yeah.
knocked off.
Yep.
I just wanted to say that, you know, I'm listening to you, and I listened to part of what Melvin had to say, and I just want to say that, you know, for years, my entire family, and that's, you know, really all we have, was against me doing this business. And what I was saying before is it's because of lack of education. They don't know about it. And I'd go up to friends and I'd introduce them to the business and they'd say, why are you doing this? You have so many other talents you could be doing. And so at first, you know, I'd listen to them, but then I'd say, no, listen, this really works. This is leveraged income. This is royalty income. Let me show you about it. Let me teach you about it. And be like, oh, I don't really have the time, you know, da, 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 da. I'd say, listen, if you don't want to understand it, then you can't know about it. You can't believe in it if you don't know about it, if you're not educated about it. That's one of our biggest problems in this country. If you're not educated about something, then you don't know how to talk about it. You don't know whether to say yes or no to it. So a lot of the people that we go to are a lot of people that we count on for our moral support. If they're against you, you're already starting off from a difficult spot. So what you have to do is you have to make a decision in your life, the same decision I made. You have to make a decision on whether you're going to associate with these people or not. Yeah, they're your family, so on family terms, I love them and I'll do anything they want and they'll do anything I want within the family. And we have the family togetherness. But as far as my work is concerned, my work is separate. And I made a conscious decision that, okay, they don't understand it. They don't want to learn about it. So I'm going to continue working in my direction and find people that do have an open mind and find people that do want to understand this and do want to get educated on it. And that's what you have to do. If you have somebody negative in your life and you say the name John Williams and you get negative vibes, you know, that negative energy that you get, you need to put a cross through their name and cross them out of your life. Disassociate with them because we become the people that we hang around with. We become the people that we keep in our lives. That's really important, people. That's so, so important. These questions that were just asked in this book, asking questions like, do you have
people in your life that create bad influences on you? That's an important question. You need to get those folks out of your life. I can't say it strongly enough, because people that put negative thoughts into your head, or you allow them to put negative thoughts in your head, are bad for you, really bad for you. And I used to say that in my training anymore. I never took it to this depth through Napoleon Hill. I used to say, you know, say somebody's name out loud, you get negative vibes from them, disassociate with them. But if you say somebody's name out loud and you get positive vibes from them, Paul Hutchings, then you want to put them in your back pocket or jump into their back pocket and learn everything you can possibly learn from them and about them, why they're doing it, how they're doing it, and then you want to emulate that. This is a business of duplication. This is not about reinventing the wheel. There are people that have come before us that know how to do this business, and all we have to do is follow their lead, follow what they're doing, and we'll all have the same success. If we do what Paul Hutchings is doing and Doc Fran is doing and Melvin Shaw is doing and Bill Hartranft is doing, we will have success. All yours, Paul.
Thanks, Bill. Great comments as always. Folks, the line's open. I don't even think it's muted. If you want to say something, I'd love to hear from you.
Hey, Paul. Mike Nelson.
Hey, Mike.
How's it going today, young man?
Today's the best day of my life.
Absolutely. Hey, I wanted to talk about the major defining purpose.
Yes.
You know, to say it out loud to yourself is one thing, but what I'm finding really helps in conversations with people is to say it out loud to them. Have it posted right in front of you when you're on the phone. You go over that with them and make them believe in you right now while you've got them hot on the line with you. And it's really helped me not only to help convince them that this is the greatest thing since sliced bread, but it keeps ingrained in the back of my head, in the back of my mind, and it keeps exercising that 6-inch muscle between your ears to believe in what you're saying to other people. You have to dream, you have to believe, you have to act, and then you'll have it. That's all.
Great, great. Yeah, thanks, Mike. Appreciate that. Yep. And really admire the belief that you have in yourself and your goal and all the action that you're taking, the results you're seeing in your life. The one caveat is you might, and maybe not, I don't know. My initial thought is you might be careful with who you share that with, just for the sake of, you know, knowing that a lot of people are disbelieving. But on the other hand, if you believe in it so much, it might not be bad practice to get in the habit of sharing it with people. And if you get a negative response,
well,
shrug
yeah,
it off. Let it roll off your back.
Yeah.
It'd be good practice.
Yeah, it's not the first thing that it comes out of my mouth, of course, but if you try to influence people towards the positive in life and then find a place in your conversation to slip it in, I'm not saying that that's the first thing out of my mouth, but if you have chance once or twice a day to slip it into some conversation that you're having with someone, it does definitely help rather than just saying it to yourself aloud. That's what I'm getting at.
Okay, good. Great. Thank you for that suggestion.
Yep. Yep.
Great idea.
Yep.
Is that Doc Fran?
That sure is. Good morning, everyone.
Hey, good morning.
Mike, that was spot on and really a good point, because when you're talking about your major purpose, that is your purpose. So anything that you're doing, any action that you're doing that speaks directly to achieving or reinforcing your purpose is going to be a positive action, and you can't control the reaction of people you say it to. You know, that's their choice, that's their free will, that's their decision. But when you know it to your core and you're speaking it in truth, then you're good to go. And on the greater number of times that it is expressed, it's going to get the effect that you're seeking. What I'd like to do is, you know, one thing that I've observed not only in myself, which is often the most difficult thing to observe is the limiting fixed beliefs that you carry around with yourself. But I have heard it expressed, and I have seen it in action in my entire career. And I really think that this is probably the major reason that most people don't even initiate the process of trying to build their business. They cripple themselves right from the very beginning at even the thought of opening their mouth and inviting someone to look at their business. And many people cripple themselves, and look at yourselves and see if this resonates, guys. They cripple their abundance because they feel guilty about asking people to support you in your business, which results in you having a gain, earning some money. So whatever the root fear is, or the root limiting belief, whether it's, you know, money is the root of all evil, or I don't deserve the money, or I'm only asking people to do this because I'm going to earn some money, whatever it is that you have shifted your perspective from what's in it for you, the person that you're entertaining sharing this with, to what's in it for me. And if what's in it for me is the dominant thought in the back of your mind, either consciously or subconsciously, then you're setting yourself up to have a negative result in that recruiting cycle. So what if you shift your perspective when you truly believe in your core? Like my core purpose, my mission in life, is to improve the condition in life of every person who will allow me influence over them. And that has worked for me ever since I wrote it 25 years ago. It works retrospectively, looking at what my life was like and what my endeavors were prior to that. And it has proven to be an ongoing mission and purpose that is real and real to me in life. So what if you shift your perspective from our favorite radio station, WIIIFM, what's in it for me, to, you know, I really hope if you have this thought in your mind every time you pick up the phone and you call Mary or Tom or Sue or Bill, I hope you will do this because I love you and there is great value to you in what I'm about to share. And you can then impart to them the value to them. And it may completely flip that switch and move you from fear of outreach to the joy of outreach. Back to you, Paul.
Hey, Paul, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Melvin.
I just want to jump right on top of what Doc Fran just said in a very positive way. That is so heavy. I talk to people on a daily basis that don't know their business. They don't know their business. They're not sold on their business. And so I understand what Doc's saying, because when they go to someone, they're feeling guilty and they're not talking to the person for the right reason. And the right reason would be get yourself sold on your own business. That's the person that you need to sell first. And you need to know it. You need to know it. You need to understand it to where you're sold on it. There are so many things that are really key in a business. And so what I've made it my business to do is study a business and to see all those positive good things. And once I get myself sold on it, anytime I talk to anyone, just like Dr. Fran says, I'm talking to them for their benefit, not mine. And so in talking to them, it's so easy to do in terms of sharing this information with someone, because I know that the whole thing is good for them. And naturally, I win as well once I help them, but it's just a whole different focus. And so, Doc, that is so much on the ball right there and on track. And if people can start realizing that it makes it very easy, like he said, just to talk to and share this with any and everyone. Back to you, Paul.
Melvin, those were those were the exact thoughts that I was having as Doc Fran was talking, is the importance of being sold 100% on what you're doing and knowing that whatever it is you're doing is the best or one of the best ways to help people make an income. And just to kind of illustrate this point a little bit further, last night I took my son to see the Harlem Globetrotters here in my state of Idaho, and we're traveling back. We've got a 30-mile drive, and we're driving down the freeway. And in my mind, I'm crunching some numbers as I'm driving down the freeway. And I've said this statement before with in front of some of my team members. I've said, you know, I believe that we can help thousands of people make thousands of dollars a month with my company. And I'm not going to mention my company name because this isn't a promotional item, but I just want to illustrate this point. So I'm driving home, and I'm thinking about thousands of people making thousands of dollars. And I'm asking myself, well, how many people do you have to have in your business in order for somebody to make thousands of dollars? And I know the number. I know it exactly. And I think to myself, that's doable for the average person. And then I say, okay, well, how many people would we have to have for 100 people to make thousands of dollars? And I come up with a number. And then I say, how many people do we have to have for thousands of people to make thousands of dollars? And I come up with a number. And then I say to myself, oh my gosh, that's doable. We can actually do that. But folks, this is how well I know my business, and it's how well I'm sold on my business. I know these numbers. I know the business. And that's one of the reasons that I'm so passionate and such a good recruiter. You know, some people say, well, gosh, if I could just get Paul in my business, you know, Paul probably wouldn't be very good in another business if he's not sold on it. One of the main reasons I'm good at what I do is because I am 110% sold on what I'm doing. When I talk to somebody on the phone and they say, Paul, what's the best way for me to make an income from home? I can emphatically share with them my business, and I can tell them exactly why it is. And so what Doc Fran is saying, what Melvin's saying, absolutely 100% true. We've got to know our business. We've got to believe that our business is a tremendous value for the people that we're sharing it with. And when you get to that point, it will overtake you to where I was talking to Doc Fran the other night, talking about how isn't it wonderful to have something where it's not about you, and it's almost like you're swallowed up in this greater purpose, this greater vision of helping as many people as you possibly can. That's magical, folks, and things just start to happen when you have that level of belief. So that's it. That's all I wanted to say.
Paul, I just wanted to reach in here if I could. Are you there, Paul?
Yep.
I just wanted to reach in and just say, gosh, you know, I used to always say, how sold on it are you? I mean, think about it. When you talk to people, listen to Paul's voice, everybody. When he started talking about his business, listen to the tone of his voice go up. If you're talking to people and you have a question in your voice, if you're talking to people and saying, do you want to get into this? You know, if you're even asking that question, you shouldn't be talking to them on the phone. You need to get on your company calls. You need to get on your company webinars. You need to get into the back pockets of the Melvin Shaws, of the Doc Frans, of the Paul Hutchings, of the Bill Hartrans, of the Mike Nelsons. You need to learn from the people that are doing it so that you can do it and get sold on it. You know, not everybody has the belief right off. So how do you get that belief? You get plugged in. Get plugged in. Get plugged in. I can't say it enough. And please, let me reemphasize one thing. While everybody's been talking, I've been going back through all these questions that Paul mentioned today from the Think and Grow Rich book. Please take Paul's advice and get on this book and go through these questions. It will really challenge you. And if you're really honest with yourself, and you have to be if you're going to do these and do them correctly, go through these questions and write down, because you're going to find things out about yourself. Like this one, this line, Paul mentioned it twice, and I love it. It's my favorite. To which do you devote most time, thinking of success or of failure? And challenge yourself to these questions. Learn from this, because that's what this call is about. This call is about learning from people that have gone before, that have conquered certain aspects of this business, or all of this business, as Paul and Doc Fran and Melvin have shown us. And we need to learn from them. We all need to learn from them and learn from ourselves. So take the time and go through the Think and Grow Rich book and ask yourself these same questions that Paul read off before and challenge yourself. Ask yourself, you know, are you gaining or losing self-confidence as you grow older? Wow, that is so powerful, as we spoke of earlier. Go through these. They're valuable. Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, Bill. Powerful, passionate. Love those words. One thing real quick is also that's one of the importance of the three-way call. If you're new in the business and you don't have that level of belief about what you're doing, your job is to sort and sift and share the tools and find the people who express interest and then immediately get them on the phone with somebody who has that level of belief. So that level of belief is going to be transferred to your prospect, and you're going to gain more and more belief as you do that. So good stuff. Rick, I heard you out there in California, buddy.
Yes, man, this is some good stuff this morning. Looks like we have a lot to talk about ourselves and how we feel about everything. You know, it's really and truly, you know, the self-confidence is such an important thing. But remember this, you know, if you have made a sale, you have a right to teach somebody how to make a sale. But you have to remember, when you're prospecting someone, timing is everything. Not because, don't focus on trying to get a sale from someone at the wrong time. You may be trying to convince somebody. You're not out there to convince anybody. You're out there to look to see if somebody is looking to improve their life. They may not be at the moment in time in their life where they recognize the need for what you have, for whatever reason. Okay, your job is not to convince them. Your job, it's like somebody said, we hire friendly people. We don't teach people how to be friendly. We hire friendly people. We're looking for people that are positive, looking to make a difference in their lives and their family's lives. You're not convincing anybody of anything. And it's very important. It's very difficult when you're not doing well in your business. That's why you use the credibility of your team. Okay, you're working with a business development group. You just started. They're looking for some people. They're expanding in your area. Okay, I'm not sure if this is for you, but do you keep your options open to make an extra income from home that don't interfere with what you're currently doing? That is a simple question. What are you listening for? A yes or a no? They say yes. Well, sure. Yeah, we can get you an appointment. No. Well, fine, maybe another time. That's all. That's the simple question. When you shoot from that hip, there's nothing can go wrong, because all you're doing is you're using the ketchup analogy. A waitress asks you if you want some ketchup. You ever notice they don't get offended? Because if you said no, they're only rejecting the Heinz ketchup people, not the waitress. You're not trying to get a date or marry somebody. You're just simply trying to find out, are they open to an opportunity? If not, then no. You can plant a seed there. You can plant a seed in somebody's life. You say, what would your life look like, okay, if you had X amount of dollars? You can put a dream in them, okay? If you had $200,000 right now, you had 5 years to live, what would your life look like? Oh, my goodness, you can hear all the dreams. You can get all the tickets from them. You can get the bullet points from them. You can go after what they say, not what you want to say, not because you want to make a sale. That's not what this is about. You have to connect with people. You have to truly, you can ask them questions that nobody else in their life is asking them at that point, and that's how you get involved with people. That's how you make a connection. That's how you build rapport. No one talks to them that way, not in their job. Nobody wants to see them progress in their job, and you're asking them questions to make them dream again. There are a lot of people on this line that are dreaming, and I love it. And I love it. I feel people on this, like they're just going back to school and they're growing. The joy of learning is so incredible. That's when you're feeling you're growing. It's like I can feel the positivity in everyone's voice on this call, and it's incredible. I mean, you feel the energy. I'm in the car and I can just feel it. My chest pounds, my heart pounds when I hear everyone on this line calls, okay? When they talk, I feel the energy. And that's the energy you need. And you can transfer that feeling to anybody by showing them that you care. Man, I was gone for, I ran for a while, but I think it's good stuff. So thank you.
Rick, love you, man. Great stuff. I love that analogy of the waitress says, do you want some ketchup? The customer says, no, they're not rejecting the waitress. They're rejecting the Heinz 57. That's great. I love that. I heard a male voice jumping out there with Rick. Was that Doc Fran or somebody else?
No, this is Dana in Arizona.
Oh, hey, Dana. Welcome to the call.
Hey, how you doing?
Great, great.
Hey,
how are you?
I good. I need to report some results to you, the effects of this call and the effects of taking seriously Think and Grow Rich. And I was awakened this morning at about 4:30, which annoyed me because I usually get up at 5 and I figured I just lost a half an hour of sleep. But on the email that we received on my wife's telephone, a guy that I had just talked to yesterday said, consider your green ticket gone. I'll talk to you later today.
Awesome. That's great.
So it's working for me, pal.
That's wonderful, Dana. Thanks so much for sharing that. And it will work for everybody on this line who does what Dana's doing and really applies it. Good stuff. Anyone else?
Hey, Paul, this is Evan in Utah. Can you hear me?
Hey, Evan, yeah, I can hear you loud and clear.
Good. I just want to backtrack a little bit of what Bill said about getting rid of the negative people in your life. And let me just preface this a little bit. My wife is actually supportive of me totally and completely, but there's some people on my team that their spouses aren't the very best of influences and very negative, in fact, and it's causing a lot of, you know, turmoil and stuff like that. I was just wondering, get some suggestions and ideas of, what do you do in that situation? How do you coach somebody or help them with their spouse who's the one that's being negative?
Yeah, I think Doc Fran or Melvin or Bill, I don't have a good answer for that. Doc, do you?
Me, Paul?
Melvin, yes, please.
Yeah, I've personally gone through it, and believe me, it can really test you. You know, you're married and you have a wife, and one of the reasons she married you is for security and all. And here it looks like you've lost your mind. You've gone off some other direction, and naturally she starts getting nervous and panicking. If it's not happening right off the bat, and you're in the process of learning and mastering this whole thing, and then you got this nagging coming at you from the other way. I want to get back to that little joke, and then I'll jump back into this again, because I thought that was so cute when the guy said, my wife is losing her mind, and I said, well, what do you mean losing her mind? He says, well, I know she's losing her mind. She gives me a piece of it every day, and that's what you're going to have to endure. You got to endure that, and there's actually a test going on. Is she going to win, or are you going to win? And I do mean winning. And what I mean by winning is she's going to either get you to where you're going to stop what you're doing, you're going to leave it alone, you're going to go her direction, and you're going to stay with your job, and you're going to give up on that dream, or either you're going to stay the course, and she's going to gradually get, he's serious, he means this, and I could see by his actions and what he's doing, and you're going to turn her around. So there's really this tug of war going on right there, and you better believe in, and you better stick to, and you better hang into what you're believing in. Otherwise, you're going to go under with that whole thing. So, and so many of us have to deal with it. So don't pretend that that's not the case. That is the case, in so many situations. some situations are not as out there as others in terms of that. You'll have that same person saying to you later on, Joe, I knew you could do it. Now, if anybody could do it, well, it's fine, you know, for her to know you could do it now that it's happening and now that it's being done. But you're thinking, damn, what I had to go through to get here. And so don't so much blame that person, because they are in fear. They are panicking. And you got to go through it. There's no easy way. That's why the more there's a belief in yourself, and that's why there's more of a belief in what you're doing. That's why you need all that on your side, because that's a tough one to weather, especially with this person that you're living with or you're sleeping with. Or maybe you might still be sleeping with them if you're not sleeping in the other room right now. But
Here, can I speak to this, please?
Yes, go ahead. Help yourself.
I personally have been through this. I personally understand it with my with a wife. I went through this exact same thing. And what you have to do, one, is you really have to soak yourself into this business, whatever business you're in, whatever company you're with. And you really have to get involved. You have to show her results, baby step results, but you must show her the results you're having. Slowly start to plug her in to these good results that are happening for you. I went through this. She was very negative. She worked for Nine West, which is a ladies' shoe company, and she was the manager, and she sold shoes. So when she would come home, see me at the desk and working my business at the time, a different network marketing company, she was like, oh, you're doing that again. You know, she would throw up her arms and just, oh, you're doing that again. She loved me. And she was behind me, but she wasn't behind what I was doing. So what I did is I showed her results, baby step results, yes, because I was new in the business and just starting out. But then I would actively ask her, I'd say, would you like to get on this call and just hear how powerful this can be? And just start to show her the same things that you're talking to other people about introducing them to the business, you're also introducing your loved one to the business. And show them baby step positive results. And if they don't believe in you, Evan, then they're not going to go for it. But if she believes in you, like you said, then she's going to want to be interested in what you're doing and see those positive results, even if they're small. And if you can show each time that you're getting a little further ahead and a little further ahead and a little further ahead, and ask her questions like, you know, honey, I'm working on the basis of, do I want 100% of myself, or do I want 1% of 100 people? I mean, this really does work. And if she gives you the whole pyramid thing, tell her that, what is AT&T? What is the federal government? What is every major corporation on the New York Stock Exchange in this country? They're also pyramids as well. So, I mean, I got a lot of that as well, and I would explain it. But they still had their own thinking, their own way of thinking, their own way of doing things. And so results. Show baby step results. Keep believing in what you're doing, and she will eventually come around. But you have to show positive results.
Let me throw out two things here. Yeah. One thing you might do is have her talk to the spouse of somebody who's made money in the business. You know, and that might help, because if she can talk to another wife or the husband to another husband, whatever the case may be, who can share, yeah, I didn't believe in the beginning either, and I was opposed, but then these checks started coming in, and our life started changing, and I was able to do this and that I wasn't able to do before, that might help. But just to recap on what Bill said, show her the money or show him the money. If you've got a spouse that's maybe against it, then all the more reason You need to dig in, figure it out, take action, pick up the phone, and get a check coming in, because I don't think anything will convince someone more than a check coming in the mail that you can deposit in the bank. So good stuff, folks. We're a little over an hour, so I'm going to go ahead and close the call. Great discussion. Thanks for everybody's participation. Let's get out there today and make today the best day of our lives. Have faith. Take action. Be persistent. Believe in yourself. Believe in your goal. Believe in the infinite. You can do great things, my friend. I believe in you. I love you. Thank you for being on the call and investing in yourself. And we'll see you back here tomorrow morning on the Think and Grow Rich call. Make it a great day, everybody.
Goodbye. Thanks, guys.
Have a terrific day. Remember.